Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names, Lord. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Thank you for the time this morning so far, Lord, as we give you praise and worship for all that you've done in our life and the changes that you are making in us, Lord. Teach us the value of surrendering our life to you, Lord, as we dig into your word, Lord. Impress on us. Imprint the Holy Spirit and the change that he wants in us, Lord. Use me, Father, to confess that which you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple things. God is trying to create change in a work in this body. Even the small group here, the Church of Philadelphia, though small, was strong and strong in the Spirit. And the things that, if this morning, if giving praise and worship is awkward to you, if it's awkward to you, if the Holy Spirit, if talk of that is awkward to you, you need to surrender that awkwardness to him. You need to surrender it to him. It's blocking you. It's blocking you from being used. It's blocking the change that he wants to do in you and through you. This week I was doing notes and all week, and I was so overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the change he's doing in my life. And I pray that he just gives me the leadership to lead this church for his glory. And I knew as soon as I had heard something this week, and then I studied it last night, and I didn't know if I was going to be sharing it with you, but as soon as Brother Ed started talking, it was the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And he started talking about baptism. And baptism itself, you are baptized into Jesus' death. Right. You are baptized into Jesus' death. When you come boldly to the throne room of grace and accept that which he did, what he paid the price for you, you accept that, and then you do a test. It's a testimony. Amen. Is what baptism is the second time. So you actually baptize, and it's showing you that you're coming up anew. You are a new creation. And third, and most importantly, is Jesus Christ wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And then, and only then, can you be fit for the Master's use. And I want you to see how awesome the Bible is, and how awesome surrender truly is. This little nugget right here, we're picking up from where we left off last week with Acts. And this has nothing to do with the message. I mean, it's all tied to surrender. Turn to Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32, and I got the old KJV here, because it wasn't even in my notes as to this whole passage, and we'll probably spend better time, so I probably won't get through the entire message today, because I'm being obedient. And it says in chapter 32, verse 1, we're just going to pick it up all the way through so you could see it. It says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said unto him, Break off your golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And the people broke them off which were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them in their hand, and he fashioned it and graved a tool, and he made a golden calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Blasphemy. Blasphemy. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it and made a proclamation that said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. A feast to this golden calf. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Basically, if you look in the New King James Version, there's like revelry. And basically what they said was they got drunk and they sinned. They were fornicating, committing adultery. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed unto you, that these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Wow. Yeah, I mean, the splitting of the Red Sea. They saw everything, the plagues, the Passover, all those things. And they were so quickly to turn back to the mud, go back to the mud, to give credit to that which was false. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from the fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest, thine own self has said, I will multiply your seed to the stars in heaven. All the land that I've spoken will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. That's where we're going to be talking today, by the way. And the Lord repented of the evil that he thought to do unto his people. Basically, God was about to just annihilate all of Israel there. Moses intervened as an intercessor, saying, God, don't do that. Please give them grace. And the Lord repented of the evil, he's going to bring to the people. And the Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hands. This is when the law was given, folks. This is when the law was given. And they were written on both their sides, and on one side and on the other side they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. So they're celebrating. I view it differently. I view it the way Joshua did. That was spiritual warfare going on right there. That was spiritual warfare going on. Because they're celebrating. And God was about to just annihilate them. And Moses intercessed for him. And then Moses, he says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp. See, that Moses intercessed for them. And then he comes down and sees what they've done. And he sees the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and he broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they made, and he burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. He was angry. How dare you? How dare you go and put something else before God who just delivered you? And Moses said to Aaron, what did the people do to you to bring you to this and to create such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot, for thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us, for this Moses is gone. We don't know what's become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off and give it to me. Verse 25, Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had them naked unto their shame among their enemies. It's like the garden. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge and truth, they were naked. But all of a sudden, they knew they were naked, you know? And it's just, and their shame was among them. That's what Adam and Eve felt, shame, while they covered themselves. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Joshua's learning at this very moment. Do you remember? As for me and my house, choose you this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Levi is which through the priests would be made, the lineage. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses said, consecrate yourselves to the day of the Lord, and every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow to you a blessing. And it came on to pass tomorrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord peradventure and shall make atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee, nevertheless in the day I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made a calf which Aaron made. Look at me, folks. This was the first day of Pentecost. This was the first day of Pentecost. The law was given. And the law makes us incomplete because we can't keep it. We can't keep it as far as we cannot live a perfect life. And that's why God said with the law, he said, whoever sins against me, I will blot out of my book. So on the first day of Pentecost, the law was given. And man was living for themselves in sin. And it was revealed unto them their imperfections. And it says, the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. But then, Jesus Christ came. He paid the price for you and I. And in Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire that sat upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues that gave them utterance. Then Peter said, I'm jumping ahead, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. Say, I'm afar off.
I'm afar off.
And as many as the Lord our God will call. He has called your name. You have entered in. You have been baptized into Jesus' death. You have been raised anew. You are a new creature. And he wants to baptize you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were saved. They were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon their soul, and many wonders and signs were done to the apostles. Now all who believed were together and all things in common.
Hallelujah.
The first Pentecost, the law came. Man was living in their sin, living for themselves. But then grace and the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost that we see here. And you see what happens when man lives a life fully surrendered to God. And you see the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 souls were taken. 3,000 souls were added into the book of life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How awesome is that?
Amen.
How awesome. How awesome is his word? How many of you seen that before? How many of you seen that before? The difference in law and grace. And it's the difference of living a surrendered life to the power of the Holy Spirit than living for yourselves.
That's right.
His word is awesome. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. Opening text, scriptures, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27 said, Then Jesus said unto his disciples, this was already quoted this morning, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. I said it last week, he's going to reward you based on the degree of surrender. You've surrendered enough to accept salvation. How much more do you need to go? You are a work in progress. You need to be broken. How many of you dwelt upon that this week? How many of you dwelt upon it? You must meditate on the law, the word of God, day and night. The things Amen. That you hear and say, yes. Because that's what gives you life. It actually takes, and Mark 4 talks about specifically, if you're not meditating on it, if you're not learning, if you're not reading over and just building that into your life, the evil one's going to snatch it away. Or the cares of the world are going to come against you. The things that this world wants to make so important come in. And it snatches away the word. And it can't produce the change that it needs to produce in you. The definition of surrender was, again, to yield to the power, control, or possession of another. To give oneself up into the power of another as a prisoner. To give oneself up into the power of another, which is to yield. And we're going through the process of surrender, and we had to learn that we had to be broken to ourself and our self-will last week with Jacob. Broken of self-reliance before we could be surrendered to God, just as Jacob was. And today, and probably next week, we're going to be looking at Jacob's grandfather. Who's Jacob's grandfather? Do you know? It's Abraham. And there's two scriptures that are really the focal point. It's not on the story of Abraham, but it's the context of which you need to understand what we're going to uncover with Abraham. And it's in Psalm 119, verses 33 through 38. And it says this, Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Sounds a little bit like steadfast, doesn't it? Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. My whole heart, right? Not with cracks in it. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. This is so awesome. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way, establishing your word to your servant. I am your servant, Jesus. What will you have? My father used to say, yes, what's the question? I am your servant. Who is, you should underline this, who is devoted to fearing you? Amen. You see, surrender and the process of it, it requires obedience. Acts 5:29 is the other one, and it's Peter says, and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God, underline it, obey God rather than man. And so we pick up this story with Abraham in chapter 22. And it came to pass, We're going to go through the whole text there, 22 through 1 through 24. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his men and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went on the place of when God had told them. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And so the two of them went together. And then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns, or by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, Mount Uriah. And that is actually where the Temple Mount once stood and will once again stand someday. In the Mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing will I bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And now it came to pass after these sayings that it was told to Abraham, saying, indeed, Milcah has been born children to your son, brother Nahor. Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemu, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Didlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. Foreknowledge there of something in the future. These eight, Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore Teba, Geam, Tahash, and Maka. That's a powerful passage and story. And many of us, if you've ever read that for the first time, look at it and go, what? What? Sacrifice your son. And like it or not, where God wanted to take Abraham is where he seeks to bring each and every one of us to the point of total surrender.
Amen. That's right.
He wants us to bring total surrender to him. You see, when it's a process to get there. It's a process to get to this point of surrender. See, when we're born again in Christ, that process begins. You surrender your life at the cross, but then it's a process of actually surrendering to get you to total surrender. Why? Because love called your name out of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9 says he calls us out of darkness. Romans 8:30 said he called you and me. Isaiah 43:1 says, the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you and I have called you by your name. You are now part of a family. You are now part of the royal priesthood. Thank you for sharing that. That is only the power of the Holy Spirit that ties this all together. And you read in 22 verse 1, and it's just like Elijah, and it came to pass. What came to pass? You have to read chapters 12 through 21. If you really want to know the full story, I'll condense it a little bit, but I suggest Maybe you read that yourself. Yes. Genesis chapter 12 through 21, you see the calling of Abraham, and you see it upon his life. And it was a process of stripping all that he had to cling to until finally he would cling and be held to God alone. His first very commandment to Abraham in chapter 12, verse 1, was basically, leave the country, leave your family, leave all that you have. You're going to become a nomad. You are going to be a wanderer. I'm calling you out. You're going to leave there. I have other plans for you. Leave your family. Leave those things behind. If God did that to you right now, what would happen? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're going to be talking about Jesus saying pretty much the same thing to some other people down the road here. How many of you guys are liking this? I mean, we're only in series part two of this, but... See, over the years, God strips Abraham, just like his grandson, of schemes and efforts to help bring about God's promises. See, God loves him, and he wants to show favor upon Abraham. But Abraham, being very much man, like we all are, tried to move things along with God. See, God had spoken to Abraham numerous times in those passages, and promised him and made a covenant with him that his offspring would number more than the sand at the seashore and be more than the stars in heaven. But Abraham, in order for promises to be fulfilled, had to learn to surrender his time, his ambition, his goals, his desires, his family, his way. And he had to surrender it all to God. And as Abraham got older, he and his wife Sarah basically tried to create fulfillment of the promise of a son by basically, Sarah says, you know, I'm getting old, I'm barren, I can't have a baby, so you know what, I'm going to help speed this along. Why don't you lay with my handmaiden, Hagar? Why don't you lay with her and she will give you a son? And so, that made sense. Possibly. You see, when man tries to become God, he just makes a mess of things. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but its end is the way of death. Mm-hmm. And Abraham would impregnate Hagar, who would then give birth to Ishmael, who's father of Islam. It's all tied back. Yep. And God actually blessed, it said God blessed Ishmael because he was a descendant. Yep. He was a descendant of Abraham. But its way, man's way, ends in death. Separation. See, the thing is, at the time, we can justify things in our mind, just as Abraham did. Well, God said this promise to me. He made this promise to me. It just makes sense. This has to be the way. This has to be the way. It's logical and it's justified in our mind. We do it every time. Every time when we don't follow Jesus, we trust our own mind. That's not surrender, folks. See, God's ways are not our ways. God's promise of a son came true, even in spite of the matters of them taking them into their own hands. See, when God proclaims something, it does not return unto him void.
That's right.
If he has said it, will he not do it? For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So Sarah, at the ripe age of 90, gave birth to Isaac. Abraham was 100. How do you like that one, folks? Tony? How old are you now, Tony? How old are you now? How old are you?
88.
88, okay. So you got another 12 years, okay? Then you can know what it's like with Abraham. Ellie, you're only 30, right? So that's right, okay. So this awesome miracle happens. a hundred-year-old man impregnates a 9-year-old woman. Sounds like the power of the Holy Spirit to me. So you would think, well, it's done. God has been glorified in just this miracle alone, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. 100 and a 90-year-old, really? And so that's the end of the story, right? Wrong. The Bible says you run your race till the end.
That's right.
You run the race till the end. And God still had so much to do in Abraham. And as a result, we get to see this awesome story that's laying on your books, in your Bible, on your lap, chapter 22. And we get to see this awesome story of complete surrender and faith unfold. So 12 through 21 is the process all the way up to the pinnacle and the culmination in chapter 22. You with me?
Yeah.
So being a son and knowing the way my dad looked upon me, and having a son now, which is such a blessing in my life, I understand that being proud as a father, looking upon a son. You see, you have to understand back in this time, in the Bible times, more so than today, the son is whom the name is carried. It's who the blessing is carried. It's who the seed is carried. It's who the family and the inheritance continues on. Abraham was an extremely wealthy man during this time. The herds and everything he had, I mean, he would have been considered a billionaire. How many billionaires can live a life of complete surrender to God? Knowing the importance of what Isaac meant and what he meant to Abraham and future generations and God's promises, we all might be a little shocked with verse 2. Yep. I want you to take Isaac and offer him as a burnt offering. Wait a second, what? This doesn't make sense, God. Right? There has to be an inner monologue going here, folks. Put yourself in the situation. Try to put yourself into Abraham's situation. Mike and Rosie, you have two sons. Could you imagine God saying that to you? Tim. This is unfathomable. And we learned last week in the process of being broken and surrendered that we start to learn more of God and His nature and His ways and His righteousness. And I also said that you start to discover yourself on that journey. You start to discover areas in your life that you have not given over to Him fully. And that's, I'm trying to remove the scales from your eyes. I'm not trying to. God is trying to do that. The Holy Spirit is knocking on the door. He's trying to peel back the layers and layers that have just gone callous over time. You need to discover the areas in your life that you have not given over to Him. And that's what you need. You need to take that to the Lord in prayer. What is it, Lord? Remember, He is the potter that breaks down the clay. And once more, He needs to build us back up so that all that is left is Him. What's going on? Am I good? So God starts to break us of ourselves so we can surrender to Him. Point one is surrender itself is rooted in God's love. Mm-hmm. It is rooted in God's love. You see, God's process of breaking us to surrender is He uses us and He tests us at certain points in our life. He tests us. He doesn't tempt you, He tests you. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or tests, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Were you tested? You were tested. And you had a testimony. Steve, you're a teacher. You give tests to see how far along are your students, right? And that test produces faith. It's the testing of your faith that produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You should underline that. Let patience have its perfect work, that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We're not talking about health and wealth here. We're talking about your soul and spirit lacking nothing. The fullness and completeness of God in you.
Yes. Do all things.
He tests our faith to prune who our faith is in. Ourselves, others, things, or in Him.
Amen.
If we fail the test, it's showing us that we need to surrender, what we need to surrender, where we need to surrender, and trust Him more in our lives. Every test comes or is born from the love of God. He's doing it to bring you to another place. He wants you to know Him in the power of His resurrection.
Amen. It's the only way.
He alone knows that we will be most blessed. We have a purpose-filled life, and this isn't like the health and wealth, but a purpose-filled life in Him.
Amen.
When we are surrendered to Him and trust in Him alone, because He knows our every need more than we do. Matthew 6:8, part B, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask Him. Before you ask Him, He knows this is what Deanna needs. This is what you need. And it's not what you think you need. See, God not only wants Abraham to surrender his all. In fact, in the process of getting him to that point, we see an incredible testimony of faith that we all get to partake in. You see, yours, mine, our own process of being broken and surrender becomes a testimony as well. It's a testimony. Others are watching you. Others are watching you, seeing what you do. What's your story? We become part of the story. We become part of the story in that lap. We're part of the story. We're part of the heritage of the family of God. Come on, church. Are you here? Are you with me? I'm losing you. God is using the story of surrender of Abraham and Isaac to illustrate what God Himself would do with His Son on the cross. Romans 8:31-32 said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He, God the Father, did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Give us all things. See, His story demonstrates His love to us in an unforgettable way. It's what every parent can identify with. You can identify with what God did with His Son if you're a parent with your own child. You can identify that. God, not by words, but by having Abraham in action. Not in words, but in action, would demonstrate how the nations will be blessed through Abraham's seed. Further confirmation of James chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
And that was what Abraham was doing. That's what the story is. It's faith, but there's an action that comes with it. It's not empty words. Abraham got to experience as close as possible what God would experience in sacrificing His only Son. God was not asking Abraham to do anything He Himself was not willing to do. The way God gives the command in 22 verse 2 actually shows that. It shows that He's understanding to Abraham's feelings. He says, take now your son. And He says, your only son. See, God understands covenant. He had a son, didn't He not, Ishmael? But He understood, I'm looking at through whom the blessing is, and it's your son with Sarah, and that is your only son. Isaac, whom you love. Scripture is so awesome. Matthew 17, verse 5. So this is what God just said to Abraham with Isaac. And in Matthew 17, verse 5, if you read it in the New International Version, it says, while He was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. And he's just, it's just confirmation of Scripture. It says, "Your son Isaac, whom you love." And he says, "This is my son, whom I love." And so my question to you is, what do you love? Whom do you love? You see, he is well acquainted with sacrifice and surrender. God wants to take us through the process of surrendering to him everything that is precious to us. Everything that is precious to us. Until we lean on him alone. This will always, it's always going to be a painful process. However, you need to be assured that it is rooted in his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How do you respond? How do you respond? The answer is obedience.
Amen.
Obedience. All right. I just want to go into one more section, and then we'll close. Obedience. Total surrender requires obedience. You read through the passage of 22 through verses 3 through 10. I mean, Abraham would have rather sacrificed himself than his son. No parent would want to sacrifice their child. But even more, Isaac represented the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. God had said that through Isaac, he would bless Abraham's descendants. And if Isaac died, the hope for the promise, the hope for the Savior died, the hope for all nations died. So Abraham was faced with a dilemma. He knew that God loved him and that Isaac was the promised heir. He also knew that God was now telling him to kill Isaac. So how could Abraham move forward? How do you and I move forward? By faith. By faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested," there it is, tested, James, right, "offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." So he went ahead in obedience to this incredibly difficult command. He knew God could raise him. But he valued what God said and what his word was. In Deuteronomy, I want to close here just for today. You guys got to be here next week. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." See, obedience shows true surrender. Obedience is true surrender. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to keep continuing on next week in that story. I would encourage you to read Genesis chapter 12 through 21. Understand the process. Read. Get involved in the story so it can become part of your story. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word and the power to change. Father, continue to teach us obedience and truth, Lord. Thank you for showing us the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and the day of Pentecost in which it saved lives and added to your book of life, Lord. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Help us to trust in you in all of our ways, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.
justified. It wasn't him God wanted me.